Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have a toy leak that we're not going to talk about. We're going to talk about the fact that it's a toy leak, but we're not going to tell you what it is. So feel okay. It's spoiler free. We also have Hemsworth coming out to say he's really disappointed with his performance in Love and Thunder, and he's talking about it. It's bold, bold. And we've got more cast added to Fantastic Four, as well as other MCU projects, including a mystery role for Giancarlo Esposito. All that right after this.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Ashley, you spoiler-avoiding person, you.
Yeah, not for me, man. But you go right ahead. We can kind of get into it.
Yeah. We're going to get into it. There's a big toy leak happening right now.
And I said, no.
I found out about it. It was actually very funny, and I think probably annoying. And so we moved on pretty quick, but like, Jeff mentioned that it is a McDonald's toy that's supposed. So this could be a little. Could walk into a McDonald's right now and be spoiled for Brave New World. So basically, right. Don't go to McDonald's, everybody.
I don't eat at McDonald's, so I'm good.
I don't either.
And I don't play with kid like it's kids' toys, right?
Well, it's children's. It's the Happy Meal. So I'm just saying, like, if you walk in there, they might have like it on the sign or something.
Yeah,
but there's. Yeah. I guess they had Brave New World toys scheduled for McDonald's. For the original release date, which was around now, but now it's been moved back a year, and so we're getting Brave New World toys. So most of them aren't spoilers. It's like a Quinjet and a Falcon, you know, Captain America with his wings and everything. Like it's really cool. It's fun stuff. But there's one that is just such an obvious spoiler that I cannot believe the first confirmation we're getting is in a McDonald's toy. I cannot believe it. So I won't say what it is. If you want to search it, you can. I actually recommend you don't, though, because I think it will be way cooler in a trailer to learn this information. I'm mad at Jeff for telling me about it.
Well, it was reported. Somebody posted it on the Facebook thing, and it got reported like 4 times. And I had to like, I was like, no.
Close your eyes.
And I deleted it fast enough that I didn't see what it was. But because that's what happens. Like, even if one person, I reported it, which is fine, but I had to delete like, I'm like, read the rules, people. Stop doing this to me.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it. And I don't know. If it's that big of a deal with a year out to go, I think that now's the time to give us a trailer. Like a good trailer. Put that in there and get people excited because I want to talk about it for a year. You know, yes. I want to be excited.
And I just wish I literally like Jeff told me there was a toy leak, a McDonald's toy leak, and I searched McDonald's toys. Like, that's all I searched on Google, and it was the first image. And I was like, dang, this is going to be just all over the place.
Is it exciting?
Yes.
Is it fun?
It's good. It's fun.
Good.
It's a good thing. I'm excited. But I wish I'd be much more excited if it were, like, the tag at the end of the trailer and not the thing I found out from a plushie.
They all say TM or have an asterisk.
Yeah. So avoid the internet, everybody.
Yeah, I think that they're going to, because of that, they're going to get us a trailer pretty quickly. Something, even a teaser. I don't know. What are you waiting for?
I don't know. At this point, it just seems like they would have known this was coming and done that before now. But I don't know how much they have finished or whatever. You know, they don't want to give us bad trailer.
I would think a lot would be finished. When did they decide to push it? Not too long ago, right? And it's been the film. They watched like a 9-minute clip of it, right? Oh no, that was Deadpool. That Disney thing. They watched something.
They did watch a clip from this, but not including the spoiler stuff. So I don't know. We'll see.
We're all looking at you, Brave New World.
Talk any more about it without revealing something. So.
Moving on. Plowing forward.
We got some more news. Did you hear about this Chris Hemsworth quote this week?
I did.
You did? Yeah, Chris Hemsworth came out and said, I got caught up in the improv, talking about Thor Love and Thunder and how it was sort of disappointing. He said, I got caught up in the improv and wackiness and I became a parody of myself. I didn't stick the landing. Which is, I think a lot of people probably feel that way about Love and Thunder. I don't think it was Hemsworth's fault.
It's never the actor's fault. I think he had a lot of input on the character. Mm-hmm. But what I don't like is that we all, from commentary and things from Christian Bale and stuff, knew that we were supposed to get a very different movie than that.
There might have been a lot more there.
Yeah, like, unfortunately, it goes back to being, Taika, you're the director. You have to make these decisions. But if you allowed yourself to be, you know, oh, you can't kill that person or you can't do that because we might use them in the future, says Disney. That's when you're on your second movie. You should push back a little bit, I think. So I wouldn't say that it was Hemsworth's. It's not his fault.
No, there's an inherent problem with the types of movies that they do a lot of improvisation. I think it's the same problem. And it's probably a better call. I don't know. We'll never know. But when they took the hands, I think it was Lord and Miller, who had done the Lego movie, were doing Solo. A Star Wars story.
In Legos?
No.
Oh, no, the real one.
Okay. They filmed the real one. They did the majority of that movie. But then Ron Howard came in to take over to refilm certain sections and do it. So Ron Howard is the name director on that movie. But Lord and Miller are the ones that cast it and directed a lot of it. It's kind of a wild story.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just got this very improvisational style. Obviously, the Lego movie is probably a little less. I don't know. I bet there's a lot of improvised dialogue in that too. But they also did the 21 Jump Street movies.
Okay.
So they're very comedy centric directors. And so they did the Solo Star Wars story, and people didn't like it. But Ron Howard came in to fix it, and it's hard to know. Like, maybe the version they had would have been interesting enough to at least generate something. That is interesting to watch. I think part of the problem with Solo is that it's so just paint by numbers. Like, here are the steps in Han Solo's journey, you know?
Yeah, I thought, writing in Emilia Clarke to be somebody's apprentice, in case you haven't seen it, I'm not going to spoil it. I thought that was really interesting, and then the movie just stopped there, and I was like, well, what the hell? I'm like, I don't even know if we even know what happens with that.
No, we don't. But I don't think it has to be over, even though that movie, this is something that annoys me. Anyway, it's the same thing with Secret Invasion. Like, you put in these little clues to what's coming, and then just because it's a bad reception, they decide to change the plan. And then you've got these hanging threads, like Emilia Clarke in Star Wars. I'd like to see where that goes. I'd really like to see where that goes. Anyway, my point being that I think that one of the inherent problems with that type of filmmaking is when you get on the set, you have a well-written script, right? Let's say you have a well-written script. You get on the set, and then somebody improvises something funny, and then everyone in the room thinks it's so funny because it's in the moment. It's alive, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've all been reading this script for 3 months, 6 months, whatever, and now they just did something different, and it's surprising, and it's funny. And so to them, it's interesting. But the original script probably would have been better. You know what I mean? There's this inherent bias toward using the improvised material. And it's very possible that there was a lot of from the page stuff in Lord Thor Love and Thunder that got cut in lieu of silly stuff that Hemsworth said in the moment, you know? And it's not his job to make that decision.
Hemsworth is a good actor. I'm not going to say he's, I don't see, let me put it this way. I don't see him getting an Academy Award within the next 2 or 3 years. He's going to hone it in. He's got to pick some more interesting roles that aren't action, aren't funny. Mm-hmm. Show me some drama. Show me something. You know, I thought that movie where he was the cult leader was going to be it, but it kind of wasn't, even though I would join that cult immediately.
The Royale.
Yeah.
That's really good.
And I thought it was, and I didn't like, that wasn't his fault either. I thought that the way that the story went, I was like, oh, well, what are we doing here?
Oh, I like that movie.
I didn't like what happened with his character specifically. I thought it was going to be more of a problem, I think.
Okay, gotcha. yeah, I really love, there's, I just like that movie. I like the guy who directed it a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jeff Bridges, the girl, everyone's fine. It was just, I thought that was going to be Hemsworth's first, like, I can be a creep. Like, I can really act. Not that he can't act. You know what I mean?
Right. Just show something
different.
Show me
different. Some chops. Show, like, Timothy Chalamet, his first movie that I remember seeing him in was Call Me By Your Name. And I'm not going to go into what that's about, but I will say that kid acted, he was amazing in it.
Yeah.
And he was up for the Academy Award for that, you know, and it's just really, like, that's real acting. And then he went and did, you know, the horror and the action. Mm-hmm. Chris Hemsworth is still kind of trying to, like, he's in the middle there, you know?
Completely. And I mean, well, it was this, he took a turn into comedy for a while. And I think, like, even though he was still doing action. I think
it's action, because of the, yeah, Ragnarok. And everyone's like, oh, you're so funny in it. And it's like, everybody were like, push that on him. He had to do the Ghostbusters and stuff like that.
So that's the thing, like, Ghostbusters was actually first.
Right. I think they had him be funny in Whedon's and stuff, and he's, like, complaining.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's in Cabin in the Woods, right? Which is also Drew Goddard wrote that with Joss Whedon, who went on to do Bad Times at El Royale. So, like, clearly they, like, saw something in Hemsworth, and I think those movies are some of Hemsworth's more interesting work. I'm excited for the new Mad Max.
Ugh. It just looks like every other Mad Max. You know what I mean? I don't see anything crazy coming out of there.
But he's the creepy villain. Like, that's what I'm excited for.
I don't want to see a creepy Chris Hemsworth. That too. Like, I don't need the note. Like, you know, I don't need all those prosthetics. We all know why Chris Hemsworth is famous. Okay. Do your muscles. Crawl around in your yard. Put it on Instagram so I can watch while I shove a donut in my face. You know? Yeah, but we'll see. Yeah. I also, I don't know.
Well, I guess I don't know. I don't know much about his character in Mad Max. Is he wearing a lot of prosthetics in that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't think that was the case. I thought he was being, I mean, I've just seen the trailers and, like, it looked like he was just more like just himself.
But I think it's a schnoz. He's definitely, because we were calling him Chris Schnozworth.
Oh, I didn't.
Very a la Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. And yeah, you're right.
But nobody's saying anything about Hemsworth doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks different, but I think that's cool though. I don't know. I like weird prosthetic stuff though. When it's done well, when it's done like you don't even notice, it's a way of cutting through. It's a problem with an actor like Hemsworth because he is Thor, because that is who he is now to so many of us. Like him looking like himself and then just being a bad dude, it's like hard to take it seriously, or it's hard to. So I think sometimes that like sort of shift in the visual like allows him to act past his persona. Does that make sense?
Or it's going to show us that he doesn't actually have the chops. Maybe. It's going to be one or the other.
Maybe.
Because I don't see him as a bad guy. I think it's going to be too goofy. I won't be able to take him seriously. I'm like,
that may be.
Kill me. Okay.
Well, and I think the world of Mad Max is sort of pulpy, slapstick, sort of like, I mean, those guys who ride around like breathing in like silver paint.
Oh, the huffers?
Yeah, huffers. Like, they're creepy, but they're also silly. So like, I think that might just fit the vibe really well. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. I hope it's a breakthrough performance for him, because I want him to do well. And I think those movies tend to have a different kind of breakout performance, but they do tend to like push people in a different direction because they're so weird.
I'd like to see him do like a horror, but lead it. Like I always say that horror movies are a good way to see what an actor can do, because they usually do end up being one person shows for a big part of the movie. It's just you. And what's going on around you is usually not a whole bunch of cast. Like I felt that way about Sydney Sweeney for Immaculate. She just did that horror. Okay. And she didn't land it for me, but it was, she tried.
Oh, man. Okay. So he goes on to say, when Hemsworth was in his interview with Vanity Fair, talking about other movies, well, the Avengers movies particularly, he says, sometimes I felt like a security guard for the team. I would read everyone else's lines and go, oh, they got way cooler stuff. They're having more fun. What's my character doing? It was always about, you've got the wig on, you've got the muscles, you've got the costume, where's the lighting? Yeah, my part of this big thing. Yes, I'm part of this big thing, but I'm probably pretty replaceable, is how he felt about his role.
I don't think that's true at all.
I see what he's saying. Thinking about,
I see
just
that he's insecure about it. Yeah. But like you're Thor.
Yeah, but think about the arcs of those movies and the character. I think he's talking about the character movement. And you think about what's happening to those characters. And then like, I think Hulk in a lot of ways is the same way. Like Hulk and Thor are sort of like these big brutes that handle the battles, but like Tony and Steve get most of the character development in those two movies.
Right. I mean, that's Marvel.
Sure.
But signing up to do a certain thing, like everybody's story arc can't be every single thing. Like everybody's got to have their thing.
Well, in the first one, just like a cop, like a brother cop chasing down Loki. You know what I mean? Like he's just like an Asgardian guy coming to get his brother, and he doesn't really, not much changes for him in that movie. And then in the next movie, they actually send him off for a big portion of it. You know what I mean? To go do the big water scene. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. But I mean, he's still a part of the scene and he finds out the information. Everybody just has a part to play. I think he's being a little nitpicky here, especially by the time his arc gets to Infinity War before, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that's post Ragnarok where he's like.
But Ragnarok was okay.
I agree.
I didn't think that was too much.
I agree. Ragnarok is okay. I mean, we've had the Ragnarok discussion a lot. I don't think it's too much. I like it. I think it's, as I've said many times, it's silly in places that take away from some of the drama that could be had with the events of that movie. Has many important deaths happen, and I still think of that movie as like a slapstick romp fun movie. Like that's always been my thought on Ragnarok. But like coming off of Ragnarok, they had changed the Thor character to be this more silly version, and so by that point, like, he's going through something serious. And I think in Infinity War, in Endgame, when he reaches out and gets the hammer and proves he's worthy, is a really beautiful moment. But like most of it, he's just like a fat joke throughout
the movie. Yeah, because that's what, like, he put himself, I think, a little bit into that corner by being like, oh, I want to do this and this and this. I want to do this. And if he hadn't let the character evolve to where it was already supposed to be going to, maybe he wouldn't be feeling like he needed to apologize for what he's doing now. Yeah. That's all.
I hear you. And then we had a response from Robert Downey Jr., who says, first off, Thor as a... He disagrees. He says, first off, Thor as a character was super tricky to adapt. Lots of implied limitations, but he and Ken Branagh figured out how to transcend, make him somehow relatable but godlike. Hemsworth is, in my opinion, the most complex psyche out of us Avengers. He's got wit and gravitas, also such restraint, fire, and gentleness. Beautiful. Beautiful Robert Downey Jr.
And they could have kept it that way. And then it could, you know, but he was like, I want to be funny. I think that everybody's having more fun.
I don't know that it's him. Like, I hear you, but I think similar to how you're talking about, like, how he's not responsible, like, for the slapstickiness and the silliness or the whatever of Thor Love and Thunder. I think he's, like, probably not fully responsible for, like, the way that character went in general. I think when he did stuff like Ghostbusters and he did other comedies and he did Men in Black, like all this, I think he started to show that he had comedy chops, and I think he does. He's funny. So like they started writing into his like strengths, you know, to give Thor something to do. Just like Robert Downey Jr. says, like there's all these implied limitations of Thor. And I think part of that is just, he's like this thousands of year old god. Like,
yeah, he's OG or OP.
Yeah, well, he's OP, but he's also like, when you're thousands of years old, when you're 30, your personality starts to get a little locked in. I'm not saying you can't change, people do, but once you're like 30, people are who they are for the most part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're thousands of years old, you kind of are who you are, which is one of the reasons that it always bothered me. That's exactly, I've complained about this before too, but in that first Thor movie, when he falls in love with Jane in such a like childish way, it seems to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're thousands of years old, man.
Everybody falls in love still like they're a child.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Well, you know what's funny is because you could even turn this and make the same conversation about Loki, but I think most people would say that Loki's turn in comedic thing is actually successful.
Well,
in a way that he's kind of saying it wasn't.
I would say the opposite. I would say that Loki, like, think about what Loki has done since the Diverged.
No, I just mean, of course, at the very end, it's serious, but it definitely gets, the comedy doesn't stop with Loki continuously throughout the show.
No, of course, there's comedy elements, but it's also incredibly serious. Loki as a series, like, starts out with him seeing the death of his mother and, like, all that stuff. It's like, I think when they left each other in Ragnarok, they went two completely different roads, like, tone-wise, and I think that obviously Loki has humor in it, and like he is treated kind of a lot of the humor is him at the edge of this like incredible power of the TVA getting like slapped around and dropped through things and getting
his, but then there's the other Lokis.
Yeah. Oh, there's tons of comedy.
50-50. Yeah.
I would go with, I agree that there's a lot of comedy, not denying that. But I think that if you look at Thor Love and Thunder versus the Loki series, it's clear that like Thor Love and Thunder, I think, leans a lot more into the comedy, even though it's got way crazy serious stuff happening with Jane. I don't know. It's all conversations we've had before, but like, yeah, I don't know. I think that the end, and we haven't seen the end of Thor's story. And that's the last thing he said here in the interview was he thinks that, fans deserve another film so that he can have a chance at sort of redeeming himself for what he thinks of as a failure. I don't know. He didn't say failure. He said it was just too far. He didn't stick the landing is his words.
Yeah, I don't think the whole the biggest part of that movie for me was not getting to see Jane get the hammer. Like, we know they filmed it. We know it was there. But, like, that big important part, if you thought that even needed to be cut out, then you are looking at this movie completely wrong.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. There's just too much. There's too much they cut out. It's frustrating. Because I do think it probably had a really interesting story there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Next up on our news, we have Giancarlo Esposito of Breaking Bad fame and The Boys fame. Revealed he'll be in the MCU soon. We don't know what. And the article uses the words "popping up," so I don't know if that's words he used because it's not in quotes. But he said the role is better than you can imagine. So. Everyone's been fan casting him for lots of different things because he's been such a geek presence lately. A lot of people say Professor X. I don't know. But him saying, I don't know. I'm interested to see. They said it'll be announced soon. So the fact that he's saying it'll be announced tells me it's going to be an actual character and not just a multiversal variant. Because I think multiversal variants will mostly be surprises.
I like Giancarlo Esposito, but I am starting to worry about him with his typecasting. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a single role or movie that he's been in within the last like 5 years where he's not the same kind of bad guy.
He's just Gus Fring and everything.
Yeah. The Gentleman, The Boys, like any little thing he pops up, even spoiler 3-2-1, Abigail, same role.
Oh, yeah?
He's the same. It's just like, okay. Honestly, let him be I'm sure everybody's typecast or casting villains, right? Mm-hmm. Doom, the Magneto, maybe Xavier, who in his own way is a villain. But I don't know. I hope it's something completely different from what he said. Like somebody random, like Nightcrawler. I don't know. Just somebody cool.
Oh my gosh, that would be interesting. Well, and that's the thing. With the multiverse, he could be anyone.
Anybody.
A version of anyone. I don't know.
It would surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I would like to see something different. But that's the thing. That's what he does well. I've seen him in a lot of stuff. And it just, that's what he does well. And I guess they're just kind of sticking with that. But I find it weird that he's just, I know Breaking Bad was awesome. It was. And he's great in it. And he's good in The Boys too. But it's like he's just this go-to guy for that. And they're using him in every universe to do that. Star Wars.
The Gentleman was just as disappointing. Star Wars. And I love him and I see his range, but I'm getting bored of it. I feel that way about Jessie Buckley, too, this actress. I'm like, you can't be in every movie the tough bad girl who's like da-da-da-da-da. You have to do something different at some point.
Yeah, well, and something, who's Jessie Buckley? I don't know that actress.
Did you ever see Men remember when we watched, did you watch Women Talking? Remember all those?
Yes.
That Oscar?
Yes, I did.
She was like the main one.
Okay, yeah. I'm seeing her in the face now. Okay, I didn't know her name. I agree with you showing more range. And the thing is with Breaking Bad, one of the things they did to give him that range and that chance was give him a backstory that was very sympathetic. And all of these other shows are not doing that. he's just
a millionaire dude.
Yeah, he's just like a millionaire dude who is like very morally dark and just doesn't care who he hurts. Like that's every he just has his goals and he's just like relentlessly following them, you know? Like that's every role he's playing these days and it's a little frustrating.
We got a lot of real talk on this cast today. We're going hard. I like it.
Well, it's interesting because we're talking a lot about like what the actors and what else they've done, not just MCU stuff today, kind of. which is fun. A lot of fun.
There was that Chris Hemsworth movie that came out right when his career started. He was like a web dude. I don't know what you call them, like a hacker, like a Neo. Okay. Do you remember? I don't remember what that was, but I remember he was pretty good in that.
Okay.
What? See, he's always listening. Black Hat. Thank you.
Ken with the assist. Yeah, I like him in everything I've seen him in. He's great, but yeah, he hasn't had a chance to stretch his legs in a while, it seems.
There was that one, too, with him and, God, what's his name, from Top Gun 2 and Whiplash.
Miles Teller?
Yes, and it was like it was almost like The Island with Scarlett Johansson and Ewan McGregor, but they were all like doing tests on Spider something. Mm. That one was weird.
Was it,
He was like running a testing facility on humans. Yeah, she's like, everybody get off the train. This is an emergency. no, seriously. Ken, what was the one with him and Miles Teller? Spider Hat. I don't know. I don't have my phone.
Spider Hat? Spider Head?
Maybe. That's it. It's Spider Head. I'm in front of a computer.
You're so used to your old computer that like couldn't search something while you were recording that you just don't want to touch your computer.
Spiderhead, yeah. Very close.
Yeah. okay. So that's the Giancarlo Esposito of it all. He's coming, gonna be in something. I actually don't even know how we get back to Chris Hemsworth. We were talking about,
I'm excited about it. I could talk about Chris Hemsworth all day.
Fantastic Four adds Paul Walter Hauser to the cast.
I have no idea who that is.
I don't either. The only reason I know his name at all. Is he was recently, you know him from stuff? I don't.
Absolutely. Okay. He was in Cruella, and he was in Richard Jewell, which is one of the, like, it's very good. He was in Cobra Kai.
Okay. See, I haven't seen any of those movies. I looked at his IMDb last week to see what I knew him from, and the answer was nothing.
Did you see I, Tonya?
I did see I, Tonya. I don't
He's
really
the other guy. Yeah. He's the guy who, like, he's, like, on the phone with the government, like, we totally didn't do that, right, government? And then they put the wire on him to...
I do remember him vaguely from that, but it's been so long. I mean, I saw it in 2017 or whatever when it came out.
Oh, yeah. Did you see Black Klansman?
Yeah. Who was he in that?
He is one of the white supremacist dudes.
Okay. Okay, cool. Well, he was recently cast, last week we covered it on Multiverse News, he was cast as Chris Farley in a Chris Farley biopic they're working on.
Oh, good. I think he could maybe do that.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
He has a lot of energy, like Chris Farley.
Okay, cool, yeah.
So I don't know if this dude can match that. I don't know, that's a hard casting.
It really is. Well, basically I think that this guy... If he's being cast in Fantastic Four and possibly a Chris Farley biopic, which he was last week, it seems like Paul Walter Hauser is probably going to be a pretty, like, household name before long.
Yeah. I like him. I've liked him in pretty much everything.
Cool.
He's just got this dry humor that's hilarious.
Okay, sweet. Sweet. And, you know, we've got the whole cast of that. We don't know what role he's playing yet in Fantastic Four, and I don't even know a role that I'd name him for. But we got Julia Garner as Silver Surfer last week, or a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So, like, we're really starting to fill up the cast of that movie with a lot of really great people.
There's still one big name.
I know. If they're going to bring him in at all.
I know, which I don't care. I don't know. I'd be okay with, maybe.
Yeah. Doom or Doomless, I'm not sure. It would be fine one way or the other. Before we move on to our feedback this week, we got to tell you guys about Hims. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch or your bed. We can all use our phones in our bed as well as do other things in our beds, which is the thing that this is alluding to here. Your sex life is incredibly important, guys. It's a part of life. And that sort of dysfunction can often be embarrassing to people and can lead you to just ignore it or get alienated in ways you don't want to be. It's important to work on your sexual health. There's no shame in it. So if you are someone in need of ED treatments, check them out. They provide access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process wow. is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor's visits. So you just you go online, you answer a series of questions on their site, and the medical provider will determine the right treatment for you. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free, no insurance needed. So if ED is a problem for you, do not hesitate to check out Hims.
Start your free online visit today at hims.com/MCU. That's HIMS.com/MCU for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/MCU. Hard mints are chewable compound products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscriptions required. Prices based on product and subscription plan.
I really think they should just brand the hard mints as hard mints.
Why? Yeah, like why aren't you doing that? Edie getting you down, let Hims get you up.
All right. So yeah, check them out, hims.com/MCU. Well, we got a few feedbacks. One's directed at you, Ash. KT Elizabeth, one of our patrons.
Speaking of Hims,
I don't know. He probably uses magnetic.
He's an older man. He uses magnetism to lift his own.
I assume if he can do the iron and the blood thing, he could probably put his blood anywhere he wants, right?
Yeah. You'd have to inject it first because there has to be a little bit more iron.
That's right. I forgot that Mystique injects in X1.
She puts it in his ass.
X2. It's X2.
All very sexy.
Very, very sexy. Katie Elizabeth says, Ash, how do you like your man snack now? With 5 question marks.
Magneto, he's wearing those black Calvin Klein underwear, and I'm like, okay, first of all, who's ever writing this is fabulously gay, and I am so here for it. And, like, someone in the production team loves Magneto as much as I do, and I'm here for it. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised. Are we kidding right now? I love it. We talked about it on the cast, but he's on at a St. Andrew's Cross with black Calvin Klein, you know, satin panties
on. Some
kinky
stuff going on in this episode.
Like, Magneto can bend me any way he bends his metal anytime. Mm-hmm. But the fact that Sinister and Bastion were like into that too. I'm like, what is happening? So I was like looking on Twitter and yeah, the gays were here for it. So am I.
And then also like shaving him seems like a weird kink thing. Real slow shave in your satin underwear. Yeah, it's not a show for kids, guys.
It's a lot. Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. So. Up next, we have Kelly McKim says, hi, Jam. This right here is why I love Marvel and especially the X-Men. The writers do such an amazing job crafting complex characters. The action and horror elements in this episode were stellar. Bastion's origin story was layered. I love how they stacked him, explaining how he manipulated humans into becoming the Sleeper Sentinels, while also showing him as a confused kid and just wants to fit in. Unlike many of the other mutants, he has a loving and accepting mom, which makes what he ultimately does to her even more messed up. Ooh, that's a good point. He makes his whole town like him, which makes him normal. Oof. Even though I am in a sort of constant state of annoyance with Jean and Scott,
okay, that never goes away. No. Just be prepared. If you're new to X-Men, that is exactly how you should feel, and that never goes away.
You're not wrong. It was satisfying to see them have their family bonding moment fighting with Cable. We didn't talk about that on the episode. We talked about it immediately after we got off. We're like, oh, we didn't even talk about the car chase.
Yeah, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
I loved the... I just love the car chase. I love the like car chase. It was silly and him like blasting through the mountain and like,
don't mess with the Summers. Yeah, click, clack.
Don't mess with the Summers or my cool car.
Yeah, which is a Porsche, not a Mazda. I didn't appreciate that, but that's okay.
I wonder if like the Porsche paid to be in that or not.
I don't think they make those Mazdas anymore. Do you remember? Yeah. I think there was also a special phone that came out around this movie. Right. The one that he takes out of the dashboard that clicks and it would click open, like how they had the Matrix phone.
Yeah.
The early 2000s were killing it with the products.
The product placement
with the like
movies.
Electronic products.
Yeah, it was like that. And then they'd also had like, you know, songs that went along with a bunch of movies. It's a good time.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good, weird, cross promotional time.
I watched this rando horror movie the other day that just had. it was Maniac Cop 2. Mm-hmm. And even Maniac Cop 2 had a rap song at the end. It was like, hey, well, he is the Maniac Cop and he's going to rip off your face. You know, and I was like, wow, they really, every movie had its own little theme songs song. Back then. Best one's Ninja Turtles.
Oh, of course. Ninja. Ninja.
TMT rap. Power. TMT Power.
Oh, continuing here with Kelly's feedback. The writers made so many compelling character choices. Even though Hank is one of the most intelligent of the group and good at solving puzzles, his need to connect allows the reporter to get so close to him and the other team members without her arousing any suspicion.
She was arousing something.
She was. I don't know. I don't know if that's true in this case. She was.
It's his girlfriend in the comics. I know, we keep going back to that. Well, it was for like a hot, hairy minute.
I know. I just was saying in this case, she had like really offended him with some of the stuff she'd said.
Wasn't that the last episode?
Yeah, though? It was.
She was here doing a mea culpa, right?
Yeah, she was trying, but it was still a little tense. And then she like turned all bastion fine.
She's like, I'm done with this.
Continuing, you would think they would always be a little more on guard with people since they know mutants like Morph and Mystique can already look like anyone. The Wolverine and Nightcrawler team up was perfection. Nightcrawler had a great line earlier in the episode about choosing your family, and it was awesome to see him really laying everything on the line to protect Rogue, while at the same time, Roberto's mom didn't do the same to protect him.
Mm. Mm,
great point.
I feel like we didn't talk about that too much either.
We did a little bit, but not. It was pretty messed up.
Like her having the thoughts and prayers party, I thought was a perfect analogy for this shit that goes on nowadays.
Totally. Continuing Kelly's feedback, and finally, the Magneto of it all. I love him.
Oh, yeah.
He is badass in all the satisfying ways. The trauma this man has experienced. He's a villain, but for all the right reasons. I'm not sure why I didn't see the obvious solution of an EMP coming, but that is such a simple but complicated path forward as it solves the Sentinel problem while also crushing human civilization. I can't wait to see where this goes next episode. Wow, that was long. Sorry for the rambling. I can't wait to hear your take on the episode. Thanks for all you do, buds. Bubs.
Bubs.
I thought it was a... I don't know what... I was like trying to do the Wolverine voice and I said buds. What is my problem? Buds.
Okay.
Thanks for all you do,
you
bubs.
You nailed it. Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly. Oh, yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I also kind of love the fact that he was able to crush, you know, like, just knowing he could do that and could have done it at any time.
Yeah, absolutely.
To just take out what's going on there. And then having control of what he does, he could have just his little part working. Like, Magneto could have turned all the nukes on us. Like, he could have done anything.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't. So he's not a real villain and he never will be.
You're so on Magneto's side.
I've always been on Magneto's side. I know. But I would be a half villain with that too. Like I said, someone cuts you off, you know, you could just do so much and no one would be able to, like, a car, you just send it right up to space. Somebody gets in front of you, doesn't use their turn signal. Bye. What car? Who saw a car? You know? Or you could crush it into nothing.
Yeah.
It's just like, I don't know, I wouldn't be able to help myself. I know some people probably would be okay. Polaris, you know, she's doing fine. She's a hero. Not this girl.
Mm-hmm.
Not Magneto, really.
Yeah. I hear you. I think it's very great that he's complex, but I always have to choose. There's got to be a path to peace. And what I like about this show is they're really questioning that. They're really pushing it to its limits. Like, is there a path to peace? Can there ever be peace between these two? And like, I mean, really, all the villains of the show have had it right for a long time. All the like friends of humanity or whatever, because it's like,
yeah,
can you really be at peace with those who are here to replace you? You know?
Yeah.
It's wild.
I'd be so jealous if a bunch of people were getting powers and I had to stay a normie.
Yeah.
God damn it.
You'd join Bastion's army like that.
Oh, dude, I'd be like, plug me in. Where do I sign up?
All right, Bryson Wong says, hey, Jam, I can't remember if Chris's recent thoughts on Thor 4 were talked about in the cast or Multiverse News, but either way, I feel compelled to reach out about it.
Back to Chris Hemsworth. Yep, let's do it.
Let's see what Bryson had to say. Even as a huge MCU fan, I've never felt super attached to Thor until Infinity War. But Chris's portrayal of him from Ragnarok through Love and Thunder has made me fall in love with Thor so much that when I'm traveling, as I do for often for work, Love and Thunder is the movie I put on for comfort as I go to sleep every night. Nice.
I love that. That's great. We're Ragnarok over here in this household.
That's awesome.
That's Kenneth's.
Even though he is a god, he feels like a friend that's going through the same real struggles as everyone else does, and I find that comforting. It kind of sucks to hear that he's so disappointed in this movie, as it has really stuck with me and may even be in my top five MCU movies. I'm sure there are a lot of fans out there that share the same feelings, and I just wish he knew how important his Thor is to us as a fan base. I just hope he's not feeling shame due to the current state of the MCU, as I think he's a beautiful actor and he's brought a lot of love to the character and joy to the fan base, and I hope he doesn't stop playing Thor until he's ready to give him a proper swan song a la Logan or Guardians 3. I also will not accept it if they do not let Thor and Loki reunite. My soul needs that. Cheers with love, Bryson.
You know, it's funny that you say it that way, Bryson, because I don't think he would have said any of that stuff if the fan base didn't react the way that, if the, not just the fan base, but the people didn't react the way they did to Thor. Like, if everybody loved Thor Love and Thunder, which I didn't, I had, you know, I have problems with it, but I don't know, I'm an easy laugh with that stuff. Like, I enjoyed the humor in it for the most part. But I do think that we wouldn't be hearing any of this if people did like it. Like, that's what I would feel like he does. I think he knows that people do like it. I don't know. It's a really weird thing as an actor to put yourself out there and kind of say that, because then you are upsetting, not upsetting, but you're letting down the people who did love it. I don't know how to.
Well, there's also, I think there's also just some self deprecation here. You know, I talked earlier about how, like, there's a problem with improvising that the director is more likely to want to use that, or the editor chooses that moment because it's new and fresh. But it's also, it's from the actor's brain. And when you're an actor and you're, like, performing a role, it's cool if you come up with some amazing moment, you know? But, like, you kind of have this sort of shield if the moment was written for you. If you made that moment up and then it makes it into the final thing, you're going to be self-conscious about it. You know, you're like,
absolutely.
You're sitting in the theater, and if they don't laugh hard enough, you're like, ooh, maybe I should have done that. Maybe that wasn't a good improv, which is a bummer, because I think, again, I don't think the problems were his. I just don't think they were. I think he went super silly, and that was the editor and the director's job to, like, choose between the silly stuff and the stuff that was on the page.
If they would have evened it out a little bit with more of gore being gore, I think it would have worked better.
Yeah, for sure.
But it just seemed like everybody was just on this, like, goofy, goofy, gaffy thing. Yeah. And I was like, what are we doing here?
Well, I think originally they were supposed to be more of that, and it didn't exist. And we have this example in the MCU of Ronan and Star-Lord. Star-Lord is silly as hell in the first Guardians, and Ronan is totally...
What are you doing?
And then you put them together, and that's one of my favorite moments, because they don't change the characters. They just put this, like, crazy, like, you know, religious zealot up against this silly man-child, and they just let him go at it, and it's hilarious and funny and poignant at the same time. And I kind of feel like, I've said it over and over, I like Taika Waititi, but I don't think he has the pivot chops that James Gunn has, and it's unfortunate.
Right. And you know what's hard for me about Love and Thunder is, in our household, one of my favorite scenes ever shot in any of the movies that we've seen today is in that, and that is the fight on the black and white moon.
Yeah.
That is the coolest that Marvel has done.
Yeah, it's really
cool. I mean, like, Portals is great. Like, there's staples. But if you're, like, a cinematography person like I am, like, you're really into what they're doing with film now, that was mind-blowing. And I was like, where was more of that?
Yeah.
Because that was still, like, and that's why you watch these movies and you're so confused when you leave. You're like, did I like that? Did I not like that? I loved that. I hated that. I don't know how I feel right now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to know sometimes, and, like, when something is so varied. And I need to rewatch it. It's been a few months since I've seen Love and Thunder. And really, probably a year. Like, I watched it a lot when it came, a couple times when it came out.
I haven't watched it.
I need to rewatch it. And the thing is, what Bryson says here about it being a movie he falls asleep to and like watches for comfort, like in most people I hear about, I feel like Ashley might push back on this, but most people I hear about when they're watching their shows for comfort, it's sort of light and funny stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
we put Avengers on to fall asleep last night. Right.
I know tons of people who fall asleep to The Office every day, you know, or Parks and Recreation, or stuff that like doesn't make you think too hard, but just kind of entertains your brain in the background, you know? And that's, I think, because it's so silly and light and doesn't have that much heaviness to it, even though, again, there's crazy heavy stuff that occurs in that movie, but like, it's sort of like, okay, that was really serious. Now on to the next joke, you know,
right.
I think that's the Taika Waititi thing. And that's why I think like Bryson has such an easy time, like this being his good sleep movie. And that's not to say it's bad. It's just, I guess I wanted something a little more epic. I want something like Portals, where it's like, yes,
everything can be Portals.
Everything can be Portals, but everything in this universe could have a balance like Portals does. And like all the James Gunn stuff does. Portals is intense, beautiful scene, but it's full of joy and humor, and like it's just this moment of like just awe. It's just great, and it's utilizing everything in the MCU to bring you to that moment. It's the culmination
of character, except for Scarlet.
Except for Scarlet,
I'll never be happy about that.
I know.
But yeah, no, I agree. Like, if there's a good movie to put on, like even with Ragnarok, when we put that on to kind of fall asleep, like he'll fall asleep, and I'm like, you know, when you. You're rolled over, you're trying to sleep, but then you just peek.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, and in 20 minutes, you're like, no, I got to be asleep. And then you hear something you like again, and you're like, and it just keeps going and going. I'm like, okay, it can't be something like that. So yeah, I see how Thor, Love and Thunder would be, because I did that all week with the X-Men movies. Mm-hmm. We'd put them on, he'd pass out. And then I was up to like 2:30 a.m. watching everything out of order. I'm done now. Well, we were talking about that last week. I finished my chaotic rewatch.
That's awesome. Well, I can't believe we're getting more of that universe soon. So cool.
I like it. I still love it.
Yeah. It's great.
There's definitely a lot of problems with a lot of those movies. Cause I did the Wolverine, and then I did, First Class backwards after I watched them all backwards, all of the newer ones, which is a really interesting thing to do and First Class is still acted the best by at least McAvoy and Fassbender. And it was not the Deadpool bar, but it was definitely a bar in Canada.
Yeah.
Remember when we were like, when they went up to him and he told him to F off?
Yeah.
It was definitely a Canadian bar.
Nice. That's awesome.
Well,
and what I love, I agree with you completely. Those First Class movies, they really like, you know, that was them trying to do a soft reboot, not change the universe too much, but give us like new stories and new actors. And I did such a good job. I really do think those First Class movies are some of the best ones.
I still think that, Fox's Quicksilver is better than ours. Shoot me, sue me.
No, for
the
sure.
The scene where they get Eric out of the Pentagon, that is the coolest scene. To Time in a Bottle, get out of here with that. They nailed it, and I love Evan Peters so much. Yep.
It's great. Really, really great. And I don't see why. I hope he shows up. I would really like to see.
Well, we already kind of got him back a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. But I'd love to see him show up with Wolverine and Deadpool. Like, he'd be a perfect fit for like a really good slow motion sequence in Deadpool and Wolverine. Like, give me that. I would love it.
I think what the X-Men movies do really well is show people who don't know a lot about Xavier that Xavier constantly is making bad decisions. So even watching X-Men, just like kind of keep that in mind, that he thinks he's doing the right thing. And it's not until he goes through the whole journey at the end when he realizes what he's done wrong that kind of led to where we are now.
Right.
And that, I just think that of all the things they get wrong, they nailed that. And they nailed Charles and Eric's relationship. Like, it honestly should have just been called Magneto and Professor X, like all of these movies.
Yeah, they're very, very much the focus. And I think, like, it's beautiful the way it's done. But it has its issues, obviously, and I'm just hoping they can find a way to do a better version in the MCU and, like, really capture all those same
things. It's going to be hard to beat those actors for me, though.
Oh, for sure.
That'll always be my biggest regret, that we didn't have everybody all together when it was what I think perfectly casted for the most part. It's like Jennifer Lawrence, actually, she gets better as the movie. She's not that great in First Class, but I will say Days of Future, there's a difference. She starts to get a little better.
Interesting.
And I'm like, okay. Interesting. Okay, girl.
It's a rewatch. I remember liking her in First Class.
It's acting level. She's like, yeah, professor. We talked about this in depth on my very first episode with this podcast.
Right. Well, with Bingers Assemble was our first episode we ever did together. So go back and check out our X-Men coverage on Bingers Assemble if you want to hear us talk about that a bunch. We may actually drop those again in the...
As it starts to get closer.
When it's getting closer. Because we covered Deadpool on the MCU cast, but we never covered it on Bingers, just because they were Marvel movies coming. I think it's the first non-MCU thing we ever covered was Deadpool, because it just seemed like, well, it's Deadpool, it's tomorrow, but then now it's very appropriate that we covered it years ago.
Oh, yeah. I'd be here for it.
Me too. All right, guys. Well, that is our show for the day. We will be back real soon with our next X-Men episode, and we love you very much. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.